also to understand that all of us bear a responsibility of sharing the gospel with somebody. Well, that wasn't a rousing response. All of us have a responsibility of sharing the gospel with somebody. Amen. Paul wrote these words, and the more I think about them, the more I believe, Pastor McInnes, whether intentional or not, this kind of is a synopsis of his whole ministry. If there's anything, here's his resume. Here's his declaration of what he is all about. Romans 15 and 20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. The Holman Christian Standard Bible words it a little differently, and it says this way, my aim is to evangelize where Christ has not been named. And an even more modern translation writes these words this way, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. Oh, I would love that God would raise up an army of people with that burning passion within their heart, because there's nothing like taking the name of Jesus where it has never been heard before. And some of you are thinking, well, God didn't call me to be a missionary. Can I tell you, there's places in your community where the name of Jesus, outside of being used as a curse, the name of Jesus has never been known. The name of Jesus has never been heard. And so let Paul's passion become our passion in the name of Jesus. Would you pray right now? And let's just ask the Lord to minister and move. Lord, we just ask that you would speak into our hearts and speak into our lives, that you would move and minister as only you are able to do. We're praying, oh God, that you would come down and that you would bless your word, and let all things be for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. We ask in the wonderful saving name of Jesus Christ. You can be seated in the wonderful name of the Lord. I have been amazed at how God has taken someone such as myself and other missionaries and used us in his kingdom. I did not grow up in an apostolic church or in an apostolic home or family. Even the town that I grew up in did not have a church where I could even hear the gospel. It was not until I was in college that I heard this wonderful message of the oneness of God and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it answered so many of the questions that I had, and it made it clarity the scriptures that I had been struggling with trying to understand. And I'm so glad that God in his grace reached down and saved someone like me. Is that your testimony tonight? I didn't deserve it. I kind of feel like Amos. I wasn't a prophet nor the son of the prophet. God found me on the backside of nowhere and turned my life around. Very quickly, I went off to Bible school, and just a few months after graduating from Bible college, I was on my way to Africa to begin this life as a missionary. And even though we began in the nation of Nigeria, God saw fit for us to transition outside of that nation and to become the very first resident missionaries in an unusual nation called Burkina Faso. And we kind of enjoyed when we were deputizing and traveling promoting Burkina Faso, because most people had never even heard of such a place. And we lived in the capital city, a city called Ouagadougou. How would you like to live in a place called Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso? Amen. Special prize if you can say it 10 times fast. But we were there arriving, as I mentioned, first missionaries ever to live and represent the United Pentecostal Church in that city. And God did some amazing things. We went through some struggles. We went through some difficulties. But we started many churches in that capital city and in some other areas areas, and God was so good to us. In fact, just this morning we were in a conference call, a Zoom video call, and the missionary that is presently there was talking about some of the amazing things that are happening there on their Bible school compound and the growth that that church has seen, even though Islamic terrorism has overtaken much of that area. The church is moving forward. The church is seeing revival. We're reaching people that otherwise would never have been reached, all because somebody was willing to take the gospel to people who had never before heard the name of Jesus. While we were there, an invitation came to us to go to another country that did not have a church. It is another Muslim nation near or in the same area as Burkina Faso. And myself and another missionary, we started the trip. We actually went by road. I'm not going to name the country. You can figure it out if you want. And we headed toward the border, not even knowing what was going to happen when we got to the border, if they would even allow us to enter this country. When we navigated the streets in front of one of the major offices, there was a big sign that told us all we really needed to know about the spirit in that country. It said, Allah is our God, the Quran is our book. Well, that's not necessarily friendly welcome. But it didn't matter, because we know that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Word of God is a whole lot better. And we began to meet with the people who had invited us there and held our very first service in that nation, sitting under this massive tree, enjoying the shade that it provided from the hot desert sun. And when we finished those first services, all four of our congregation we got to preach to on that Sunday marched down to the river with us, where they were quickly baptized in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of those men that was baptized on that day eventually became the leader of the church in that country. And a number of years ago, an amazing thing happened to him and his church. As time progressed, they were able to have a building and great revival. He was visiting and ministering to so many Muslims in his area and began to get quite a reputation of being a servant of the Lord, even among the Muslims. And in the middle of all that, there was some events that transpired in Europe that caused a lot of anger globally among Muslims. And even in African countries, Muslims began to riot, Muslims began to protest, and they began to target anything they felt that was a symbol of the West. And so they began in that particular nation, in that particular city, to burn down all the churches. And they marched toward our church where that particular man was pastoring. And when they arrived at that church, ready to burn it down, amazingly, almost miraculously, we could say, it was the Muslims that lived around that house that rose up and stood between the rioters and the church and said, you can do whatever you want to anywhere else you want, but there's a man of God that works here. There's a man of God that ministers here. He's prayed for us when we were sick and God healed us. He counseled our marriages when they were broken and God brought us back together. We may not understand or even believe everything that this guy says, but you're not touching this house. They still tried, but thankfully, for the most part, that church was saved from harm and today continues to experience great apostolic revival in Jesus' name. While we were also in Burkina Faso, we had another opportunity to go to another country for the very first time, a country called the Central African Republic. And myself and the same missionary that went to the nation I just mentioned, we traveled there and began to hold services by invitation with a large group of people. And we began to teach them on the oneness of God. We began to teach them about baptism in Jesus' name. Now, I have heard a lot of responses to preaching before. I've heard people shout hallelujah. I've heard people shout amen. I've heard people shout, preach it, preacher. But in the middle of July or sometime July or August when this was, I heard probably the most amusing thing I've ever heard while I was preaching. I was just teaching on baptism in Jesus' name, and somebody got so excited they forgot what time of the year it was and just shouted out, Happy New Year! Well, Happy New Year to you too. Because when you get baptized in Jesus' name, all things become new. And while there was opposition in that country, in fact, there was not only spiritual opposition, there was a lot of physical violence taking place, which continues to this day. There were rebels surrounding the capital city while we were there, just a few miles out from the border. And yet, while we were there, we took these people down to the river, and we got to baptize a large number of them in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. We still have a church in that country. It's still growing. And even though it's also being persecuted, I believe that God has afforded that country an opportunity to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so we have counted it an honor, as Paul said, to take and preach the name of Jesus where it has never before been named. And so it was when we went to the nation of Senegal, where there was no church welcoming, as my wife mentioned, where there were no saints already baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And you got to see in that short video some of the very first people that we baptized in Senegal and the surrounding area. And I was reminded just a few days ago of a story that really strikes me and reminds me of how new the gospel can be for some people. My wife was telling you about that precious little girl that was the first Sunday school student. You saw the picture of her the day that she was baptized. I also remember that, and that was her mom that I was baptizing in the video, that last video. And her mom also received the Holy Ghost, our first member to receive the Holy Ghost in the church. And there weren't a lot of people there that day, and she'd been praying for the Holy Ghost. In fact, a lot of people had told her, I don't know why, but a lot of people had told her she could never receive the Holy Ghost. And so imagine praying with someone who doesn't even believe they can get it. Now, I don't know why someone would have dared tell this person such a thing, but I assured her, you can receive the Holy Ghost. And we kept praying and fasting, God, you're going to have to do something here and build our faith. And I am so thankful that on a Sunday morning, after preaching the Word of God, the Holy Ghost moved into that house. She began to worship like she never had before. I'd convinced her that God loved her and that she could receive the Holy Ghost. And some of you know what I'm talking about. She got a good dose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She began to speak in tongues, and we went through the announcements, and she's still talking in tongues, and we dismissed, and she's still talking in tongues. And the most challenging thing that happened that day was, after all was done and the other people we had left, there's that little girl, I think she was 9 or maybe 10 at the time, that little girl that was baptized, you saw the picture, she's standing there watching her mom speak in tongues, and she looks at my wife and I, and she's distressed and very worried, and she says, does my mom know who I am now? You have to remember, this is what happens when you start a work. Some of us are so familiar with Pentecost, we've lost touch of what it must feel like for people who don't know. She was worried that her mom wouldn't know her anymore. She even asked, will my mom ever speak to me in a language I can understand? We assured her that, don't worry, your mom is just experiencing the power, the joy, and the presence of God, that she will continue to feel that same spirit in the days to come, the months to come, even the years to come. But don't worry, in a little while, you'll be able to talk to her in French again, and I guarantee you, you're going to see something different. And you could tell she was skeptical, and she didn't believe that anything I was saying was true. And we finally left her the next, just a couple of days later, we went back and visited her and her mom, and the first thing I asked, I said, well, how's your mom? And this big smile come over her face. She says, I've got the best mom in the world. I've never known my mom could be this nice. I've never known my mom could be this happy. There's something about the Holy Ghost, folks. There's something about the power of God. But it all comes down to giving people something they need. You can look at people who don't have the gospel, and you have a choice. You can either tell them about Jesus, or you can resign them to being lost without hope. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs, and very quickly, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but to continue my thoughts about taking the gospel to people. Proverbs chapter number 27, verse number 7, you can see it there on the screen. It's kind of a little obscure verse, but this verse has challenged me in so many ways. It says this, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Now, you can apply this both in a positive sense and in a negative sense. I'm so glad that God has filled us with the Holy Ghost. And hopefully you come to church on a regular basis with a full soul. But can I tell you that there is even a danger in having a full soul? There's times that we who have grown accustomed to the power and the presence of God, we who have grown accustomed to hearing the Word of God, we come into church with that full soul, and the man of God steps to the pulpit and tries to give us that honeycomb. I've heard that before, preacher. Oh, I forgot where I'm at. This never happens here. The full soul loatheth, doesn't have room, doesn't have space for even the sweet things in life, even the sweet things of the Word of God, thinking we're so full we don't need it. And that's a sermon in and of itself, but it's the second part that challenges me, because it tells me that to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Most of us in North American society really don't know what hunger is. We've been hungry, but we don't know what real hunger is. I have seen it. I've lived among it. I've tried to respond at times to the best of my ability. But even in my experience, I really don't understand what true hunger is. But this verse tells me that when you are truly hungry, it will literally change your taste. Is that what it said? To the bitter soul, to the hungry soul, excuse me, every bitter thing is sweet. So things that you normally would not consume, you consume them and you actually have a positive feeling about it. There's an event that transpired in that country I mentioned at the beginning, Burkina Faso. I was walking down a street in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, and I saw something that forever changed some things in my heart, my mind, and my spirit. Now, I will mention right now, if you're easily grossed out, you may want to tune me out for just 2 minutes. So I'm walking down the street, and there's this guy in front of me, known as a madman. Now in Africa, madman is somebody that, for whatever reason, it could be alcohol, drugs, it could be a psychological issue, it could even be demon possession. But they've kind of lost their senses. And everyone knows, just give them space. They're not going to talk to you. They'll probably be violent. Many of them wear little, if any, clothing, wandering around the streets. And I got behind one of these guys. I'm keeping my distance because you never know what he might do. He could just turn around and start throwing things at you. So I'm just keeping my distance. He probably didn't know I was there. But when he stopped, I stopped. He was carrying some things in his hands and not really paying any attention to me, but he did get focused on the open sewer beside the road. And that little rusty can that he was carrying in his hand, he proceeded to dip it into that open sewer. And then he just kind of chugged and lugged that can of open sewer. I took a look at it, and it was brown and green and bubbling and filled with all kinds of things, living and dead. By the way, I did warn you, didn't I? And in my way of thinking, how could anyone do you not putting into your body? Do you not know the harm you're inflicting on your system? I'm thinking all these things. And that guy, he just on his merry way to the hungry soul. To the hungry soul. To the hungry soul. Every bitter thing is... In that moment, the Lord spoke a whole lot of things into my life. One of the things he did was he reminded me of when I was dipping my cup into the sewers of this world. Oh, I wish I had a witness now. When I was drinking of the things that were destroying my soul and destroying my spirit, and yet in those moments of participating in all the pleasures of this world, I thought I was having so much fun. To the hungry soul. We look at our world today and it keeps getting worse, folks. If you think it's bad now, you just buckle up. It's going to get worse. But Jesus is about to come. And things are going to continue to digress and plunge into an abyss unlike anything we have ever seen before. And all the while, the true people of God, we're probably going to stand off to the side, scratch our heads, and think, are you people crazy? To the hungry soul. There's a reason why people do what they do. There's a reason why people act the way they act. Why they participate in the things they do. It's because there's a void. There's a hunger. And you could say, how could you do that? Well, to the hungry soul. Things that a normal person would avoid, would never consume. To the hungry soul, that bitter thing tastes good. It meets a need. It satisfies. And all the while, you have a choice. You can either stand and criticize and condemn, or perhaps, maybe, just maybe, God is calling you to offer something better. It's easy to look at the hungry in our world and those that are searching for answers. And yes, they're probably looking in all the wrong places. But until you and I offer something better, you are going to meet hungry people tomorrow. They will not look like the madman I described to you. They will likely be fully clothed. They will at least outwardly appear to be in the right mind. They'll have a suit and a tie on perhaps, or just a pair of farmer's coveralls. But can I tell you a little inside story? They're hungry. They're hungry. And you have a choice. You can look at them and all the things that they are trying to do to fill that hunger, and you can judge them, you can condemn them, you can criticize them, and in your worldview, question and wonder, how on earth could anybody in their right mind ever do that? But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is, they'll continue to do that and continue to believe it's the best thing they've got until someone like you steps into their life and says, come, taste, and see that the Lord, He is good. Would you stand together with me in the presence of God on this beautiful Wednesday evening? And I'm wondering if we could just take a moment and just ask the Lord to touch our hearts. You're going to be walking by some hungry people tomorrow. What are you going to do? You can watch them consume everything this world has to offer and offer them a judgment, a criticism, and even a condemnation. Or you could smile, and maybe for the first time in their life, you could give them Jesus. And you could be like the Apostle Paul and take the name of Jesus where it has never been heard before. It used to be that everyone you ran into knew who Jesus was. Can I tell you, it is not that way in 2021 here in North America, here in the United States, here in Daquan, Illinois. I guarantee you that if you would just start looking, you're going to find people that have never heard anything about Him. And they're hungry, and they're looking for something to fill that void. That's why I'm in the church, folks. Isn't that why you're here? That one day you were lost looking for answers, and whether it was through somebody preaching on a radio or even through the internet or maybe a home Bible study or maybe the Lord just directed you to come to a church like this because of that hunger that you had that was trying to be filled with everything the world had to offer, suddenly you discovered true joy, true peace, true happiness, and it is all found in the name of Jesus. Could we not be equally burdened and impassioned to reach those around us that are so hungry? They're looking for a solution, and they're looking for something to fill them. And you and I are the only ones who can do that. As we close this evening, as Pastor McInnes comes, could we lift our hands in praise, in prayer, and perhaps even commitment to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And could we not ask the Lord to help us to see the hungry around us? Could we not ask the Lord to help us to see those that need to hear the name of Jesus around us? Could we not be moved with a compassion and a burden for the lost around us and simply say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord. I want to be that one who will go. I want to be that one who will preach. I want to be that one who will give them Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Can we just sing?